Let's take our Bibles. Our message for today are going to be the faithful others of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We have been studying faithful men and women of faith. But let us not forget that there are the others that are mentioned in this passage. Others, unnamed, unknown to man, but many of them, certainly all of them, known to God. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers is a monument dedicated to the American service members who have died without their remains being identified. Also known as the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the western panel of that tomb is inscribed with the words centered on the panel, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." That's true with Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be giving special tribute to those that are mentioned in this chapter that lived out their faith to the death. And then we're going to be meditating upon the persecuted church suffering for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And two things ought to come to our minds. Number one, the freedoms that we have in this precious country, the United States of America, where by and large we can gather together unmolested to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it also ought to be brought to our minds that there are many in the body of Christ that are suffering. And for them to gather together in a public place is impossible. They gather in homes, in basements, in closed shops, for fear of their lives. And if apprehended, would be considered as terrorists against their own government and thrown in prison. In our study of Hebrews 11, looking at verses 32 all the way through verse 34, we're going to see that there are many who had the faith, certainly, to conquer in the midst of struggle. And these in verses 30 all the way through to verse 34 are mentioned for us. Thus far in our study, we've come to verse 30. You see, in verse 30, we see the reference to Joshua and the children of Israel who were willing to trust God against all human wisdom. Think of the conquest of Jericho. What a beautiful picture of us learning to trust the Lord even though it may defy human logic. Then in verse 31, you have reference to Rahab, how her heart yearned for the true God of Israel, even in the midst of a pagan background. God changed her heart, changed her life, and it's a beautiful picture of no matter what your background may be, the Lord can lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock, as Psalm 40 reminds us. Then in verse 32, Gideon was mentioned, where his army was cut down from 32,000 to 300, and yet he trusted God to provide the victory against the enemy. We saw Barak and his bravery over the Canaanites, Samson, who was endued with great power, Jephthah, who faced tremendous odds and yet trusted God and honored his word, even though it was a great cost to him. We see the reference of David, a man after God's own heart, facing insurmountable odds, but trusting in God's calling in his life. Samuel, a prophet of God, never having fought in a war, yet he fought spiritual warfare and idolatry. And then the reference in general to the prophets in verse 32. All of those prophets would have included Samuel, all the way through John the Baptist who were willing to stand alone. And you know what the Word of God says? Look at verse 33. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. The Greek word subdued, katagonizomai, means to fight down, to overcome with personal agony. And yet, they put their own creature comforts aside in order to enhance and further the kingdom. It says in verse 33, they wrought righteousness. That carries the idea of executing righteousness and justice against great pressures. Many of those are peer pressures. What kind of peer pressure are you facing, taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listeners, those of you at work, are you failing to be a witness for the Lord because you fear of what men might say? Today, there's tremendous pressure in our country to be politically correct and to say the right thing and not to offend anyone and to have a world global view. And we've lost the perspective of the uniqueness of the gospel and men needing to be saved. And yet here were men that were willing to wrought righteousness. They obtained the promises and acted upon them, stopping the mouths of lions. What does that remind you of? Certainly it reminds you of Daniel, doesn't it? Thrown into a lion's den by the decree of Darius, yet he would not stop being a man of prayer. Look at verse 34, still mentioning individuals here. It says, they quenched the violence of fire. You know old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I don't know about you, but I love those Bible stories. I heard them even long before I came to know Christ as Savior. Old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to worship the image of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. They escaped, it says in verse 34, the edge of the sword. How often David escaped the sword of Goliath and Saul. Out of weakness they were made strong. God extended King Hezekiah's life, didn't he, by 15 years. He was weak, but then was made strong. And he fathered a son. Waxing valiant in fight. Think of David's mighty men, people that were maligned in debt and malcontents. There was even hope for them in the service of the Lord. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead or raised again, referring to Elijah raising the dead son of the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. So you see, here we see that individuals in the Heroes Hall of Fame had the faith to conquer in struggle. What struggle are you facing today? What opposition? I believe our nation is at the crossroads. We see the coming election today, and we see the selection of the future Supreme Court members that are going to be determining the direction of our nation. Oh, how we need to be in prayer for this coming election. And more will be said this coming Lord's Day. They had the faith to conquer in struggle. But now let's take a look at the others in verse 35. They died. Many of them died. But does that mean that they were conquered? Does that mean that they were empty in their faith, or they lost their faith? No, the Word of God says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, sometimes God doesn't design the battle to be victorious here on earth. That doesn't mean that they were defeated. Individuals can face their captors with courage and determination and a spirit of victory. And as Philippians says, even the boldness can be a token of the perdition of those who are carrying out the persecution. I think of what it says in verse 35. Look at it. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others were tortured. You know that word tortured there that is found in the Word of God here in the Scriptures? Others were tortured. It speaks of tympaizo. It's the Greek word that's used to torture with a tympanium. A tympanium was a wheel that was circular, and they would tie a person, whether face up or face down, and turn it, and their bodies would be beaten with clubs, and they would just be attacked and beaten. And oftentimes, as you can see in this illustration here, there were sharp objects at the base of the wheel, and their bodies would go in circular fashion and be totally tortured. And the Word of God says they were tortured and even sawn asunder, and they did not accept deliverance. Think of the Christians in Libya who suffered for their faith at the hands of their captors. Think of the Christians persecuted in Sudan. Information is there at the table for you to study. Individuals that if they gather together to worship the Lord, they're cast into prison. Any evangelism whatsoever in Sudan is being looked at as if it was an attack against the government. Throughout Muslim nations, Christianity and persecution all around. Glenn and I and Tommy and family had a chance to drive over to Daytona Beach for an athletic event. First, Tommy and Glenn had an opportunity to meet an Egyptian gentleman who was a Christian. He was a Coptic Christian from Egypt, and he was working the concession stand at the university there in Daytona. He started sharing and telling me about the fact that he came to know Jesus Christ at age 15 as his personal Savior. There are 17, this is something you don't know, there are 17 assemblies in Central Florida for Egyptian believers. But he was sharing with me, he said, please, Pastor John, pray for Egypt, because the scuttlebutt, the news that's going around that I'm getting from my family members that are also believers, is that on 11-11, November the 11th, there's a planned attack and an assault against the Christian church. And even the government that would seek to protect believers whenever they're attacked. So we just need to pray about that. I spoke with Brother Fagali on the phone Saturday morning and asked him, have you heard anything about this? And he said, no, I haven't, but I'm going to talk and make some calls to some Egyptian pastors and see whether they have become aware of anything at all like this. But this is not published by the press whatsoever, and you're not going to hear about it, certainly. And it just causes me to think of Hebrews 13 and verse 3. We as believers are to remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. You know, we read the book of the Acts and we think, oh, well, the church, they suffered greatly, but they're not suffering today like they did certainly back then. That's not true. There's more persecution today in countries all around the world. And what are we doing? What is our response to many of these governments? We're enabling them financially. We're allowing ourselves to be opened to their maneuvers, where in 10 years, we're going to find that there's as much persecution in the United States of America as it is in many of these countries. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, as them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. In the book of Revelation chapter 6, and I turn to this portion of Scripture. This is a tribulation portion of Scripture, speaking about the great tribulation period. hear the believers crying out. They cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth?" White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until all their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So we can see this, the truth of the suffering church all around us today. And God's word reminds us about that, certainly. Now, let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And let's go to the portion of Scripture in verse 38. Notice what it says. "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in caves of the earth." Yes, the Word of God shows us here that they suffered and they had faith. They had the faith to conquer in struggle, the faith to continue in suffering. And certainly, they also had, number three, the faith to count on salvation. Look at verse 39. "These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." You know, the Old Testament saints looked forward to the coming of the Redeemer. They looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they embraced by faith those promises. Yet they didn't have all of the fulfillment of the promises. One of the greatest promises was the new covenant and its inauguration. The new covenant is the covenant in Christ's blood. Notice it says in verse 40, "God having provided some better thing for us." The key word in the book of Hebrews is the word "better," and it's the reference to the better covenant in verse 40. "They without us should not be made perfect." Thank the Lord that through the new covenant, we have that fulfillment, being saved by faith. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I wish I could say that the day of the comfortable Christian is not over, but the church is facing great trial and persecution around the world. And what we're seeing today with the concept of open borders and allowing things to happen, persecution is going to come. But are we going to be willing to stand up and proclaim the truth of God's word? Oh, there'll be some that'll take away the church's tax-exempt status. There'll be many churches that are meeting in schools that, unless they're preaching a politically correct message, they'll have to leave that school. Publicly government-owned facilities will not be allowed for churches in the United States if things continue as many are seeking that to be the case. But yet, is that going to cause the church to falter? Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I foresee that there'll be a return to house churches. I foresee, just like in the New Testament, you'll have churches that'll be gathering together underground, but yet the purest water is often forced through the solid rock of adversity, that it might be a refreshment towards the world. Let's be faithful, as we've seen here. Now, one of the things that I've emphasized as we've looked at each one of the series here, the biographical sketches, you read Hebrews and then you go back to the Old Testament narratives and you see that none of these people were perfect people. They all had their blemishes and their faithlessness in so many areas, but they persevered and God worked in their hearts and lives. Let's be faithful. Let's continue on in the work of the Lord. Because the fact that these imperfect people are found in the book of Hebrews as the hall of faith demonstrates that our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. We are approved and received through the merits of Jesus Christ through his shed blood. There may be some of you here that do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. God can change your life. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, shed his blood that you might have eternal life. And if you turn to Jesus Christ and realize your lost condition and will embrace by faith the truth that Jesus bore your sins on the cross of Calvary, and you'll repent of your sins, you'll see your sins as condemning you before an all-holy God. But Jesus, you bore those sins, and I receive your free gift by faith. Come into my heart and save me. Pray that sinner's prayer. God can transform your life just as greatly as every one of these men and women that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for family members, extended family members who may not be walking with the Lord that need to know him as personal Savior. Let's pray. Father, I pray that everyone listening to this message would, Lord, see their need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. So much in this great chapter that has been delivered unto us to remind us of the truth, the just shall live by faith. And Lord, that old acrostic of faith, forsaking all, I will trust him. Thank you, Father, for our Savior, who is the captain of our salvation. And Lord, as Hebrews says, seeing that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses as we have seen in chapter 11, Lord, help us to run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for our Savior who, for the joy of being with us throughout eternity, was willing to suffer that we might have eternal life. Lord, if there's one here that has not trusted in Christ, may this be the day of salvation. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here today and you've never come to Jesus Christ and called upon his name to save you from your sins, I'd like to give you that opportunity right now. How many of you would say, Pastor John, I'm not saved? The time has never come. I've been trusting in myself and my good works, and yet your word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, save one person, and that was Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God who died for me. And I want to receive him as my Savior. Let me see your hand. I want to raise my hand as an indication that I want to be saved. Oh, I pray that all of us do know Christ as personal Savior and that you've built your life on that solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.